So let's quickly chaz what we did last time. So we're doing knuckles. So there's a machlokas between chaf gimel and aleph. Okay, chaf gimel and aleph in the middle of the page. So there's a machlokas. So what type of judges do you appoint to do the whipping, the malchus? Okay. For new guys. So what type of judges do you use? So according to the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, you specifically appoint the judge who's weak, and very like Yisere Mada, like intelligent. Okay? Weak and intelligent. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter who. Okay? So why? What's the whole basis of the whole thing, right? So there's a argument. Rava brings in support of that it should be a guy who's unintelligent, because the Torah says, "Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef, Lakos Aleila Makaraba." Don't do too many. So he says, if the guy is so smart, why do you need to warn him to not do too many? Of course, the mitzvah is to give him 39 or whatever it is. Why would you think that he would do more? But if you assume that he's unintelligent, or at least they could be unintelligent, so then it makes sense that you have to warn him. But according to Chacham, holds you bedafka, take people who are, you know, intelligent, you say remada, high level of intelligence, so why does it have to warn us? So then the Gemara responds, the Rabbana say back, no, ain't Nazaris and Elo Mazaris. Even Mazuras, even warning, it only works on someone who's already Mazuras. You warn a person who's not careful, it's not gonna work anyways. So the fact that you have to warn him doesn't matter. Doesn't mean that it means he's a slouch. On the contrary, slouch doesn't listen to your warning. So the Torah's warning, a person who's already a high level. So the whole thing is hard to understand. What's the Indian here? So we saw the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnah said that part of the idea, is that we have like the Chachamim, is that it shouldn't be a hitting, like an aggressive type of a hit. Okay, he's hitting because it's a mitzvah to do the onesh. But if you specifically get a guy who's weak and a guy who's a chacham, so this way, when he hits, he's not just getting out his aggression, getting into it, right? And if he's really a strong guy, it's like becomes like a machas achzori, like you're trying to beat the guy in an intense way, and he's getting personally into it. And then a guy who's not intelligent, he's just like a low-level person. He's going to get his own personality into it. So on the contrary, you're trying to hit him like a hitting, which is like a low-level hitting, if you will. You take a guy who's not strong, and he's a chacham, so he's not going to get his oomph, his personality into it, right? So the question is, so that's the reason. Most of the question is, what is Rabbi Yehuda's counter-argument to that? Right? So he said that he holds that it's all very nice. The only thing is it's an onesh, after all. It's an onesh. It's a punishment. So if you're going to bedafka create like a lessened onesh, to make it like a mitigated onesh, it takes away from its quality as an onesh. Right? It takes away from its quality as an onesh. So you got to, so on the contrary, being an onesh, you can't bedafka choose a person who's not going to be good at punishing. Take a weak guy and a smart guy. On the contrary, that's like, it's like you're setting it up halachically to be a compromised onesh. So therefore, he holds that the gavro who does the onesh is any old person. Any person. So is there this idea of holding back? According to the Chacham, according to Bira? So he said, yes, there is, because the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says, Lo Yosef, Pen Yosef Akosa, the Torah warns them. Don't do too many. Don't do too many. So even though it's saying is you get any guy to do it, you don't specifically have a weak guy, but at the same time, the Pasuk which he reads, which charges him to do it, says, be careful, don't do extra, and if you do it, it's a lot. Right? So the Rabbi Yehuda holds the Torah, so to speak, held back on the malchus by formulating a lo sasei and a warning, don't go too far. Whereas the Chachamim held, the Torah went further than that. Beyond just warning the person, it built into the very structure of the person who does the malchus, The Gavra who's administering the Malchus has to be a Gavra who's in line with that idea of Lo Yosef, of not going too far. And that's Machlokas, was the idea of restraint built into the very halachic structure of the Malchus, namely it has to be a Gavra with these requirements, which is in line with restraint? Or do you say restraint is more a superadded Isser, the Torah, and the way the Torah warned him? It says, be careful, don't do too many. But the structure of the Malchus itself is an Onesh, and therefore it doesn't have restraint built into the halachic structure. More just in terms of the superadded Isser, which the Torah placed. Okay? That's what we did last time. What it comes down to is that if you build the restraint into the Onesh itself, namely, demand the chacham and the weakling, does that compromise its quality as an onesh? Right, this is the line you have to draw. On the one hand, you want restraint. On the other hand, the whole idea of the onesh is as a deterrent. You want to punish a sinner so that it discourages other people from it. You don't want to, you don't want to hit him with a little plastic whip or something. I mean, it's supposed to be an onesh, right? The chacham. Now, then, Rava's argument is: look, if you tell me restraint is already built in, namely the Gavra has to be the right Gavra, so then why does the Torah then have to say, Lo Yosef? Right? In other words, if the Torah built in the restraint, then why do you have to then add on the Isser of the restraint? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that restraint isn't built in, you understand why the Torah creates restraint in terms of the warning. It says, don't do too much. Don't go overboard. But according to that's Rava's argument in support of Rabbi Yehuda. But according to the Chachamim, that restraint is already built into the halacha, namely the Gavra has to be smart and weak. So then, what do you need the Torah to say, Lo Yosef? And his answer is, just because he's the right Gavra and he's a Mezarez, doesn't mean you don't have to warn him. Even any person, the involvement in the thing itself could get him, and you could aim it, and you warn a person anyways. Just because the guy's careful doesn't mean you don't have to warn him. Right? And on the contrary, sometimes it's even more so. If the guy doesn't have restraint in the first place, then it's not going to even help to warn him. Right? Yeah. Further, I think that going further is a related point. Okay? That's what I wanted to go over. So it says, Tan Rabbanan. So it's, one second. Tana. I'm sorry, right before the Dudats. Mizuros, you see? The Mizuros, Rabbanan is the beginning of the line. The Mizuros. Tana. Kishehu Magbia. You see? Kishehu Magbia, when you lift up the whip, Magbia b'shteyadav. You lift it up with two hands. Ukashehu Maka, and when you hit, Maka b'yadarachas. You hit with one hand. Okay? So you lift up the whip with two hands, and then you pull down with the one hand. Kihechi de lesa mididei. Okay, let's see. Is there Rashi on that? So that it comes from him? Or the lesa mididei? Not sure lesa is with a hey. Maybe it means it comes from him? Let's see, like asa? Let's see, was it Rashi or no? So hold on a second. But there's a change in gear set here. Detesi merazia. Or marzia. And they say here, Perusha, there are the marashas, the Perusha bekawach. Means that I'll let him hard. Okay? Midi day. Or there's other gear set they have. Kidehesi, delesi midi day. Comes from him. Which they interpret to mean it'll be strong. It'll come with his strength. Will be able to hit strong with one hand. You know, pull down much, I guess, harder than with two hands. Is that reasonable or no? So I say, kishemaka tavo mimana dahanim bikocho, kishemaka biyad achas hamaka chazaka yoser. In some sense, it sounds crazy because how could one hand be stronger than two? On the other hand, you feel like with two hands, you're busy like aligning your hands, that you may not get the same strength as if you do it in one hand. For example, try to throw a baseball with two hands. It's not going to go very fast. You don't throw it fast, you throw it with one hand. Right? So it's like two hands, it's like the angle. You can't get the good angle and the muscles in that direction, the torque.
It needs to be just right.
It seems like with two hands, it's like Especially, again, if you're going straight down, it's one thing, but the guy's like on the side of you and you gotta whip it, that's a long whip. It just seems like, you know, maybe if you're smacking straight down on something right in front of you, then maybe you could do it better with two hands, like you get your whole body into it, but with a whip, it seems like sort of saying. It's like, so you lift it up with two hands, and then down with one hand.
I think it's more about the accuracy.
So here's my question. Is this a contradiction to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? I'm sorry, the Chachamim, who hold that you're bedafka getting a weakling to do it. Right? Because it sounds like on the one hand you're getting a guy who's weak. On the other hand, you're saying is, let's work out the best possible way to hit him as hard as he could. Right? So is that a contradiction? According to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds you don't get a weak guy, I understand. Because you're getting a weak guy, compromises the onesh. But according to the Chachamim, who hold you do get a weak guy, then on the contrary, do with one hand, do with two hands, so it'll be not so strong. Don't lift it up all the way. I don't know, whatever. Like, why you, the way it's, it sounds like you're doing with one hand, so it's harder. Do with two hands, and it will be a little bit of a awkward type of a hit. Great. Great. Right? A weak guy who hits in an awkward fashion, wouldn't that be great? Right? It almost sounds from here that you're trying to work it out to be in the best possible way, namely the most strongest possible way. So it's a little bit, look a little further in the Gemara. It says, where is this coming from? So you say, Tanu Rabbanan, it's like a few lines down. Okay? Tanu Rabbanan. You see that? Maka Rabba. Right? The Torah says, Maka Rabba. Right? Arbaim Yakenu Lo Yosef. Don't do too much. Pen Yosef Akos Ole Lo Maka Rabba. Maybe you're going to hit him a strong, a hit, big hit. Be degraded. So Maka Rabba, Ainli Ala Maka Rabba. Okay, so this is hard to read this whole Gemara. But in the Ela Maka Rabba, the Maka Mu'etas Minayin, but how do you know what a small Maka? Talmud Lomar Lo Yosef, don't do too much. Imke Matal Lomar Maka Rabba, Limit HaRishon L'Shehi Maka Rabba, teach you the first one of Maka Rabba. So that's all together intelligible, right? So let's say Rashi. Rashi is a different gear, so I think. So here, look. So he says, in the Ela, I'm sorry, Maka Mu'etas. Okay, you see Maka Mu'etas, that Rashi? So, Kigon Shamdu L'Pachos Maka B'Sidur Echad. You invite them to do less whips in one order. Enil Maka Rabba. Reisha the Raisa Hachi Yisub Sifri. Okay, so here's the Sifri, it says, has a bigger version of it. Okay, so here's the way the Raisa goes. Enil B'Zmanash Masifin Al Men Yaron. I only know that the Isser of Lo Yosef is if you hit him more than 40. I'll call Omid Omid Shandu Bezim Minayin. How do you know that it's Usser to add on if they evaluate him for, let's say, 27? How do you know the Isser applies still to add on more? Tamil Omar, Lo Yosef, Mikol Makom. Right? You can't add no matter what. So you can't add more than whatever the Omid is. It's a lav. Maka Rabba, Ainli, Al Maka Rabba, Ainli, the Chayiv Al Lo Yosef. I would say only over Lo Yosef if you hit him more than the a lot of Malkos, more than the Omer, than the valuation. Malkos Muatos, a little bit. I feel stay Malkos or Achas, Minayin Das Osa, Minayin Das Osa, add even one or two. Strange how many. Lo Yosef, Lo Alkos, Al Eila, Al Minayin Omer, don't add more than the number that's evaluated. Okay, fine. So that's how the Gemara is reading. Fine. So let's read the Gemara again. Now with that in mind, Tanurun Maka Rabba, Eini Ela Maka Rabba. I only know if I add a lot. Maka Muatas Minayin. I don't know if I add a little bit. That's still the lav. Tamalom Lo Yosef. You can't add on at all. And can't Tamalom Maka Rabba. Why is it saying Maka Rabba? Because that's this is funny. Abam Yakan Lo Yosef. And Yosef Kozel Ela Maka Rabba. Lest you can add a lot on the top. But what do you mean? Let's say you only add only one or two. So it's saying that's also Asr. So then why does the Torah say Maka Rabba? So Shumaka, so it's teaching you, my answer is, Limei l'harishonos shein Maka Rabba. It's teaching you that the first ones should be a Maka Rabba. Rashi. Shenitan laha koso bal karcho. They change that girsa here, in the sifta, to b'chol kocho. Tosis yantuf. Rashash v'chinu b'kis v'yad. So b'chol kocho. So it's teaching you that the first hits, namely the ones in line with the Omed, should be b'chol kocho. Right, Kainir L'Rebbe V'Lashon Achikibol Rebbe. So what the point is that it seems from this limud of Mako Rabba is the source of this halacha that you should hit him b'chal kocha. Right? So what the Gemara earlier said about the lifting up high and down, lifting up with two hands and down with one hand so it's strong is actually a limud in Mako Rabba. So it's not just a din that you shouldn't do it in a bad way. You're bedafka doing it as a Mako Rabba. Right? So again, I'm saying is that a contradiction to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda who holds here that a guy's weak? I'm sorry. So I think the other thing is that to say that, I think in line with what we said before, is to hit him weakly, you know, just to take it and just to do a little tap. I mean, that's not an onesh. If the maisa of hitting is a whip, it's a hit. And a hit is a hit. And if you're holding back and you're hitting and you're doing it in like an inefficient way or in some not the right way to hit, then it lacks in being an onesh. So the maisa of the malchus definitely has to be the way you hit somebody. And the way you hit somebody is you do it, lift it up with two hands, you smack it down with one hand, that's the way you hit. What are you trying to do? You're trying to hit him. Right? But, and so much so, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, don't get a weak guy, because that's going to undermine what you're trying to accomplish. But the Chachamim argue that there is a tension. On the one hand, you want restraint. On the other hand, there has to be an onesh. So the solution is that in the Maisa of Haka'ah, it has to be all out. You can't have it holding back in the Maisa. It's like you're not trying to hit him. What are you doing? But in the Gavra, who you choose is like behind the scenes. Look, this is the guy who's on the duty today. It's not like it's not manifest in the action that you're holding back, right? And so the Maisa Haka has to be b'chal kocha, but because of Lo Yosef, because of the restraint, the Gavra who you choose is one who exercise who is going to be we exercise restraint by selecting a guy who's not really a strong guy, right? So, but again, it's not pshat that the Chachamim don't hear the whole point that it needs to be an onesh. Whereas that was Yehuda's argument to say, don't get weak guys. So you could have thought that the Chachamim simply don't hold by that. They simply say, forget this whole... on the contrary, they say it's all about restraint. Everything's restraint. I don't forget about trying to hit him hard. It has nothing to do with hitting him hard. It's all about restraint. So that's what saying is, no, the Chachamim are not quite saying that. They're not just saying, just hit him, tap him. They agree that it has to be an onesh. The machlokas is, in order to give it a din of an onesh, is it sufficient that the maisa haka'a is done with strength? Or do you say you also need a gavra who's in line with that? Right? And you can't... It's interesting, though, because even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say you would dafka. There's a havmina and tosis that. There's different yourselves, but there's a havmina and tosis that you actually have to have a strong guy. But the maskana is, the way Tosa said, the Rashi is, the Girsa is more just a din that we're not medactic. You choose whoever it is. You're not allowed to choose a weak guy, because the weak guy, the dafka, a weak guy, compromises the din onesh. But there's no din that it positively has to be like the strongest guy around. Right? Which I think makes sense. He's just saying... He's against saying, he says, to the halacha of a week, compromises his quality as an onesh. Right? But Rabbi, but the Chachamim argue, I'm sorry, but the Chachamim argue, no, that yes, it's true that if you hit lightly, that compromises his quality as an onesh. But if the fact that the Gavra, behind the scenes, the guy we happen to choose, it's not manifest that it's being held back. Insofar as long as the Maisa is done fully, so then it's fine. It doesn't take away the quality of knowledge. Ultimately, everyone agrees is that you want restraint, but you can't mitigate the onesh itself. You can't lessen or hold back in the onesh, because it's not takes away from being an onesh. So definitely, that means the Maisa can't be a withheld action. The Maisa of hitting. Question is, if the Gavra, who you're choosing, is a weakling, does that undermine the quality of the onesh? Or do you say it only undermines the quality of the onesh if the maisa is done in a compromised fashion? But if it's in the Gavra, that's almost like a prior, like a Hechsher of the Maisa. And that won't undermine its quality as an Onish. I see that as like a good intuitive question. You know, you can have a Shikaladas going one way or another. So, I prefer not to push it further. You know? Mm-hmm. So the Gemara says, a little further, it says, V'akore. Okay? So basically, while you hit him, there are psukim which you read. Okay? Which the Mishnah brings them down, like V'hurachim, and different psukim, which basically, I think, in some sense, maybe we'll get to it more, underscore that we're not just stop hitting him, but we're giving him Musar. We're trying to teach a lesson to him and to all the people around. So you enunciate ideas in the hitting. You don't just say, or you know, just yell at him, you know, scream and hit and get all into it. Right? It's not just aggressive hitting. There's a message. There's a message in the hitting. Okay, so Mar says like this. Tanu Rabbanan. I'm sorry, Kore. So Tanu Rabbanan. Gadol Shev B'Dayanim Kore. Okay, the greatest amongst the judges reads. Okay. Hasheni Mona, the second Olan in level, presumably means in like Godless, Chachma, Torah, something like that. The second one counts. Hashlishi Omer Hakehu. Okay, hit him. So apparently these are, the guy hitting isn't one of the Dayanim. The Dayanim are the judges who are posking the whole thing. All right, so there are three of them. So the one guy is reading, the other one is counting, and the third is saying, hey. Okay? Okay.
Are you counting the lashes?
Yeah, counting the lashes. To make sure that it's important to count, because you don't want to go overboard. You want to keep the number down. Right? Okay. So, good. Then it says, one second. Hasheni v'seder chashivos. That's what the Rama in the Perush Mishnah says. Okay. V'seder chashivos. Okay. On each hit, though, they yell. Hakeya. Okay. So I guess one thing would be is, could we explain, well, we'll read a little further in a second, but could we explain the sense of that? Okay, is there a sense that that's the order? Or who cares?
This is the order.
But is there a reason why that's the way we give out the jobs?
Why? That's a question.
Yeah. So the idea of the counter is, like, you want to make sure. It's a very vital importance that we don't hit too much. It's a lot. Yeah. And you only deserve a certain amount. So it's important to get it right.
Right.
And then when you're hitting, it's a strong, aggressive action. It's all your energy.
Right.
So you only put all your energy into the hitting. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to be involved in keeping count while you're doing the hitting.
Yeah.
It's a workout.
That makes sense.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, when you lift weights, the guy's spotting you. Do you do your own count, or the guy who's spotting you counts?
That's a good point.
I don't know. Not so easy to keep count. Right. You know, where else do we careful about missing up a count? Achas. So that's the Mishnah, or the Ram, or someone says, is that achas l'mayelu v'shev l'mata, right? So it's one up and seven down. So if the problem is, if you don't do the achas v'achas, you get confused, because the one doesn't count to the seven, right? And the problem is how do you know not to count that first one? Because you might remember, oh, I did it three times already. Oh, was that including the first one? Is it not including the first one? Because it's one up and seven down. So that's the idea of achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim. This way you keep track. You don't mistakenly include the first one into the count of the seven, right? Like, others just count one, and then start again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But it's like in your mind, you might, that one might throw off your count. So this way the count has achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh. Right? But the point is that when you're doing an action, counting is not so simple. And the more engaging the action is, the more careful you have to be. So we have a dayan, and the guy who hits, you see, isn't necessarily the smartest guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the dayanim are the ones who are zahir to make sure that we don't do too much. So you have a guy whose job is exclusively to count. Right? And he's not the guy who reads the psukim. That's certainly not going to be good, right? So reading the psukim, counting is too much. And the guy who says hit, what do you need him for? Just to make sure, like, presumably the doctor's looking on or whatever, so no one hits until he's the guy. I guess he makes sure It's ready to go.
It's like a matir, sort of.
Right, like a matir, right. I mean, that's good. It's a matir that he's a dayan. He decides, well, he basically, like, he aligns it. The guy's in the right position or whatever. The hitter's the hitter. He's the judge. And he says, you're hitting, I'll pee the dayanim. He's a shliach bezin, I'll pee the dayanim. So maybe that's the point. He's acting not on his own, say, but he's acting as shliach bezin. Each and every hit is under the shlichus of the Beis Din. So he won't tell us him. Right?
Coordinator.
He's a coordinator. Right. Yeah. Okay. What do you say? So what's the idea of the seder of these guys?
The seder? You mean like the order?
For the smartest, or the gadol of the dayanim, is the one who reads. The second one is the one who counts. And the third one is the one who says, hey. So yeah, I think I say saying, is that, just adjusted it slightly, is that the judges, the jobs, the way we divvy out the jobs are based upon the greatest chacham, the greatest person, gets the most abstract, intellectual job, so to speak. It's like we rank them in terms of their level, in terms of the jobs. So the highest job is the giving mussar, it's teaching. So the greatest chacham, as I was saying, the greatest chacham is the one who's involved in teaching people. Right? It's a mussar, and it's teaching him, teaching people. See, that's the job. You give that job to the highest thought, to the greatest guy. The second job is not giving mussar, but at the same time, it's keeping track of the numbers. So that's a mental exercise. He has to make sure he's here, and he's a proper, you know, he has the proper care and concern for this person to make sure he keeps track properly. And the third one is more just like a practical thing. He's there. He's like the organizer, the arranger. So the saying is, the job, even though there are three jobs, they have various levels of, I guess, chachma, or proper midos, or whatever, which are involved in pulling them off. So even though probably they could all do them all equally well, they're not, but it's like, it's a greater kavod, you give it to the greater person, you give him the like, job, which reflects or engages the tzam alakim in the highest way, right? So there's the rankings. It's like a kavod, they're kibudim, if you will. And we give them out based upon the level of my love, the individuals. Right?